faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Tom Littleton is going to join us today with breaking news. In fact, welcome to all of you listening to the VCY America Radio Network, 58 blowtorch stations out of the Midwest and around the country from coast to coast now. FrankSpeech.com, LindellTV.com, WVWTV.com/live. Thank you to all the outlets now carrying this broadcast. I would urge you now, as we are live, 1:01 p.m. Central Time, August 24th, tweet, text, email, Facebook, call. Tell them to tune in to one of our outlets, WVWTV.com/live, WorldviewRadio.com/live, a VCY America station, FrankSpeech.com, LindellTV.com. Take your pick, but tune in. We are going to break some news today. I don't know of anyone else that's going to be reporting what we are about to report to you. There is a mothership. There is a mothership that seems to be helping to drive the narrative with the media, with education, with government, with business, with the pharmaceutical industry. There is a mothership that seems to have a collaborative contribution to this whole propaganda. And it was discovered by our broadcast partner, whose TV show we produce at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Tom Littleton, he found it. He alerted us to it yesterday, and he's already written an article on it, which we have posted at worldviewtimes.com. So everything we're about to tell you is in an article with hyperlinks at worldviewtimes.com. This would be what you could describe as the mothership of the change agents for COVID propaganda. It's called COVID Collaborative. We'll get into it. We'll show you some screenshots for those watching by television right now. Tom Littleton, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good to be here, Brannon. I think I appreciate that you are getting this out, because I think a lot of people are totally unaware that this organization exists. Few people are aware, wow, and yet everybody's lives are being affected by it.
I didn't know it until you called me yesterday and said, look what I found.
Yeah, I had followed the Ad Council, which is putting a lot of this stuff together with the public service announcements and, you know, former presidents and a lot of these people, but I had not followed the links all the way to this COVID collaborative and seen that their agenda, of course, is very clear in the beginning to push the protocols and responses, and then, of course, the healthcare responses, and then even to push beyond combating COVID-19 to put us on a path, quote-unquote, to a safer, more sustainable, and more prosperous America. And then you only need to look at the people who are on the board of this thing and see, you know, who the brain trust is of globalists and people with their own agenda, that clearly the pandemic represents opportunity, just like you've pointed out with World Economic Forum and World Bank and the Great Reset.
Yeah, well, let's go to the screen. If you can show that, give me a thumbs up in there. All right, look at this, folks. It's the website. It is COVID Collaborative. We believe a united America can still win the fight against COVID-19. We're mobilizing leaders across the nation to turn the tide on this pandemic. COVID Collaborative has mobilized dozens of public health and science experts and former officials from the Biden, Trump, Obama, and Bush administration to provide business leaders with clear and actionable measures that they can adopt to keep their workers safe. But it goes on to say, look, Center for Global Development, three units of Duke University, and the Pandemic Action Network has released a framework for a global action plan. So, folks, this is about a global action plan. But then they go on to say, of course, look who's joining on. Pope Francis joins the Ad Council and COVID Collaboratives. It's up to you campaign. So look at this, folks. They've got six cardinals and Pope Francis, the Marxist Pope, the first ever Jesuit Pope, Pope Francis, a Jesuit. The Jesuits, you know, I have a whole series on the Jesuits I've done, by the way, over the years. You'll find in my Situation Room at situationroom.net. It's my VIP club. If you'd like to join, just go to situationroom.net. But I have 4 1-hours I've done on TV on the Jesuits and their history. And the Jesuits are indeed one of the folks that came up with the idea of liberation theology, merging Christianity and Marxism, if you will. The Jesuits are some of the founders of this. The term social justice was actually developed by a Jesuit priest named Luigi Tappernelli in 1840, 8 years before Karl Marx released the Communist Manifesto. So don't be shocked. You got the Marxist Pope, the Red Pope, Pope Francis, jumping on board. Of course, he, Pope Francis, has called for, along with Pope Benedict before this, a world order, a world central bank with teeth. They have pushed Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, which is globalism, global governance, radical environmentalism, socialism, and world order hiding under environmentalism. So would you be shocked you'd have this nut job, Pope Francis, involved in this? Then you look down the page. Look, you got good old smiling Jim Acosta here. Look at,
right now, the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans, and soon they will be available to everyone.
This vaccine means hope. It will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
I want to go back to work, and I want to be able to move around.
To visit with Michelle's mom, to hug her and see her on her birthday.
You know what I'm really looking forward to is going to opening day in Texas Ranger Stadium with a full stadium.
We've lost enough people, and we've suffered enough damage.
In order to get rid of this pandemic, it's important for our fellow citizens to get vaccinated.
I'm getting vaccinated because we want this pandemic to end as soon as possible.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
So roll up your sleeve and do your part.
This is our shot.
Now it's up to you.
There's all the past presidents that I can think of. I mean, you got Jimmy Carter, you got Obama, Clinton, George W., all getting their shot there. And this is, again, we go to the bottom of the page. We'll scroll on down for those on TV. This is just some of them. We'll get to more of them. But look at some of these people that are involved. There's got to be a way to get to all of their sponsors. Let's go back up to the top of the page. Let's see. Initiatives, State of the Crisis, the Collaborative. Let's see if we click that, what happens. I know a while ago we were on a page that had all of them. Oh, by the way, let's go on down here. There we go. There it is. Look at that. Okay, here we go, Tom. Let's go through this here. Of course, Rick Warren's involved in this, so hold on, folks. Rick Warren's involved. But name some of these groups involved, Tom.
Well, some of the groups involved, you've got a lot of politicians, some rhino Republicans like Chris Christie and Tom Ridge, a couple of governors, a few senators who are no shock to us as conservative Christians. But then you have a lot of healthcare people that have long histories in the CDC, the FDA, World Health Organization. So all these people have representatives at the table. And then very few practicing physicians are involved in this narrative. It's clearly very politicized and pushing toward their ultimate goals, you know, of mandating the vaccine. That seems to be the main point that they're on right now.
There's the Rockefeller Foundation on the screen. Now, we're still showing the screen, right, guys?
Yeah.
Look at this. You see the Rockefeller Foundation there? Of course, they were doing lockstep back in 2010, were they not?
Yes.
So they were telling us this was coming back in 2010. You got a group called Vaccinate Your Family. Let's go back down. As we scroll back down, we'll call them out. Medical Ethics and Health Policy. Penn, you've got National Urban League. Let's see.
Walton Family Foundation.
Oh, yeah. The Walmart. We saw them at the bottom of the page. Oh, Johns Hopkins University. No shock. One of their big four founders was into eugenics big time. We've got Harvard Medical School. Let's see who else we got. Oh, Georgetown University. That's your Jesuit Georgetown. Jesuit Georgetown University involved. So, of course, you got Pope Francis, the Jesuit, involved as well.
Yeah, Blue Star Families, that's a big nonprofit that works with veterans and their families.
Let's see who else we got here. Arizona State University, All State Foundation, American Heart Association, Association of Immunization Managers, Ad Council, American Enterprise Institute. That's a real liberal group, is it not?
Yeah, but they've had huge inroads into conservative Bible colleges and seminaries. So they work very closely with the economics agenda that they're pushing within the church.
Let's go through. Let's go back up to the top of the page here. Okay, you got your national council. You got presidents involved. You got elected officials. You got all kinds of people. Let's go back. We got Dick Kempthorne, co-chair, former governor of Idaho. Deval Patrick, co-chair, former governor of Massachusetts, is involved as a co-chair.
He worked closely with NAACP, and they're in particular really targeting minorities and blacks. A lot of their press releases have been specific to targeting minorities. So this is a former NAACP guy, Patrick.
I see Barbara Bush here. That would be the daughter of George W. Bush. Let's see, as I scroll down the page, any other names that jump out to you?
Scott Burns, next to Barbara Bush, he's actually the guy that did the Got Milk campaign and is also the producer of the Grammy and Oscar award-winning work of Al Gore.
Okay, looky here, Chris Christie.
Yeah, Chris Christie.
But
back on Burns quickly, he's the one who produced the Inconvenient Truth movie and sequels.
Sure, for Al Gore. Look, here's one. You've got Arne Duncan. He was the Secretary of Education pushing, Race to the Top, No Child Left Behind, Common Core. Arne Duncan, you got him in here. You've got Mitch Daniels. I think he is also a guy that ran for president, but I don't think he got very far. There's a lot of – oh, here's Bill Frist, former U.S. Senator from Tennessee here, a medical doctor.
Robert Gates, who's a former – I think he was Bush era.
Oh, yeah, Robert Gates right there, yep. He was the defense secretary for George W. Bush, wasn't he?
Yep.
Let's keep going down the list. Some of these names I don't recognize. Oh, wait, here's Frank Luntz, the pollster Frank Luntz.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to see if I see any other names. Oh, look, Richard Riley. He was the Secretary of Education for Bill Clinton. He was the Secretary of Education. He was the one pushing America 2000, Goals 2000, all that. Here is Kathleen Sebelius, former governor of Kansas, and I think she was Health and Human Services Director for Obama. So we got him, her. Looky there, Rick Warren. Rick Warren, Tom.
Yeah. We know that Rick has worked with the globalists with their World Global Health Initiative. He was working with Bill Gates as early as 2005, and also with the United Nations and Ted Turner. They were pushing their Global Health Initiative. That's actually when the Peace Plan was launched in 2005 at the event they dubbed the Woodstock of Global Health. And they had their global false prophet, Bono, speaking at that as well. So these are the circles that Rick Warren's very accustomed to running in.
In fact, let's go over here. Watch this, folks. This is the Council on Foreign Relations website right here. All right, let's do the famous old Control F, and let's go Rick Warren. And looky there, Rick Warren. And what am I at here? I'm at the cfr.org/membership/roster. So if you want to see who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a globalist organization, Council on Foreign Relations, pretty much Hillary Clinton thanked them for telling her and everybody else how to respond. They kind of helped run the country. But there's Rick Warren, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. We could do hours and hours on that. Let's see. Richard Land. Is he? Oh, yeah. Let's see if Richard Land with the Southern Baptist Convention. Is he involved? I think he is. Richard, let's see. I found him. Control F. Let's go with his full name. Richard D. Land. Let's see what happens. Well, let's try Land. I know he's in here. L-A-N-D. All right. Let's scroll past 25 people. Let's see how long it takes to find him. He's going to be in here. Trust me. Hang on. We're going to find him. Look, there he is. Richard D. Land of the Southern Baptist, who runs the Christian Post. They were mocking Jimmy DeYoung the other day. right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. I'm going to go over to the Christian Post website if you want to show this, Clay. This is the Christian Post, and the reason I brought up Richard Land a while ago, if we go back to that page, Richard D. Land, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations along with Rick Warren. One reason I bring that up is because Prophecy Today Bible teacher Jimmy DeYoung, who passed away a week ago Sunday, he apparently was mocked by the Christian Post. That's how I take it. And Richard Land has been listed still as a major editor, leader with the Christian Post. Here's their headline for those on TV. Bible prophecy teacher Jimmy DeYoung, who questioned COVID-19 vaccines, dies from the virus. Yeah, and how do you know he wouldn't have died if he'd gotten the vaccine? Are people dying from the vaccine? Oh, yeah, like over 12,000 have died after getting the vaccine. Morons at the Christian Post. Who has warned you that the greatest threat to America are so-called Christians, like the Christian Post, neo-Christians, neo-evangelicals, neo-Calvinists? Yeah, wrote a book called Religious Trojan Horse some time ago, warning you that this would happen. So here we have Christian Post, who, again, if you type in, you'll find that Richard Land is still involved. Big shocker, Richard Land, of course, has been involved with promoting stuff since the 90s with the United Nations and radical environmentalism. I've got the documents to prove it. And Richard Land, of course, as we see, is a part of the, right there, Richard D. Land, Council for Foreign Relations roster, along with Rick Warren. And, of course, they want to mock Jimmy DeYoung. This actually got picked up by Yahoo News. Christian radio host, if you'll show that. Christian radio host who asked if vaccine is form of government control dies of COVID. Jimmy DeYoung, a Christian radio broadcaster who questioned the COVID-19 vaccine, died Sunday following a short battle with the virus. He was hospitalized with COVID-19 on August 7th, according to the Chattanoogan, and died from the virus 8 days later. Again, boy, these people really want to make an issue that Jimmy DeYoung died of this and push the whole COVID thing. And again, don't be shocked that you have so-called Christians involved in pushing this, because when we go back to the collaborative, there's good old Rick Warren, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, with Jimmy Carter and George W. and Obama and the rest of these clowns pushing the COVID. Kathleen Sebelius, about as liberal and I think probably about as pro-abortion as you can get. Tom Littleton, former governor of Kansas, former Health and Human Services, I think, director for Obama, if I remember correctly. There's Rick Warren right in the middle of it all.
Right. And these health experts, obviously, they're going to follow the political narrative. And a lot of them have been political operatives for many, many years. We have to admit to ourselves as Christians that there are guys like Richard Land and Rick Warren who are committed globalists. That is what they are. That's who they work with, they collaborate with. And so it should be no shock that these guys have signed on to the COVID narrative. And, of course, as you pointed out, this is a global movement now, and they're recruiting religious leaders from all over the place. In addition to Rick Warren, Russell Moore and also Walter Kim, who's head of the National Association of Evangelicals, was pushing this same narrative as early as May, working directly with the Ad Council, who did this most recent campaign with the president. So we've got major evangelical involvement in this, pushing Christians toward submission to this agenda.
Yeah, let's not forget Rick Warren brought the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Tony Blair, to his church for like a 90-minute dialogue and ended up giving him an award, even though the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Tony Blair, is a member of the Labour Party. The Labour Party came out of the Fabian Socialist Party. It is Tony Blair that we have pictures of unveiling the Fabian window and praising the Fabian Society. And any of you that remember the Fabian window know that it was developed by George Bernard Shaw back in 1910. And it shows a man in a red coat and a white coat. And they're banging on a hot earth that's on fire, a crisis, right? And so I've talked about the Fabian window forever. We have the video of and the audio of and the picture of Tony Blair unveiling the Fabian window after it was stolen and then showed back up again. This is the Fabians. Let's go to the screenshot here for those who remember, those watching by TV. This is the Fabian window created by Fabian George Bernard Shaw, 1910. What's it say at the top? Remold it nearer to the heart's desire. Remold what? The earth. I've been talking about this for so many years, right? And people are like, oh, this is just crazy talk. Well, look at how it's all happening. Notice you have the hot earth on fire. It's come out of the fire right behind the man in the red coat. They're banging on it with a pair of hammers. One guy's holding it with a tong on an anvil. And they're banging and remolding it near to the heart's desire. What does this mean? We got a crisis of some kind. Oh, wait a minute. What is above the hot earth on fire there, folks? What is that? That is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Hello, Rick Warren. That is a hello, Richard Land. Hello, Russell Moore. Hello, Southern Baptist leaders, Southern Baptist Convention leaders. Here is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Fabian Society, 1910, George Bernard Shaw's window saying, we'll use them as our logo. We'll use the sheep in wolf's clothing. Here's a man back here with a bellow. What is he doing? He's using the bellow to blow up the fire. So in other words, we're going to have a fire. We'll create a crisis. We'll manufacture it. We'll build it. We'll make it even bigger. We'll put the world into it, have a major crisis. This will soften the world for us then to do what we otherwise would never be able to get them to do. Look at this little slogan right here in this little sign. Pray devoutly, hammer stoutly. Do you know? Well, I wonder who they're praying to. Well, if you look down here, they're all kneeling and praying. And if you go through these books, as I've done in past TV shows, you know what these books are? Like Industrial Democracy and many of these books here? These are books of the Fabians. These are some of the books of some of the most renowned Fabians. Now, this over here, this guy way here in the far left, this is supposed to be George Bernard Shaw mocking all the Fabians who are down on their knees praying to a stack of Fabian books. Why is he mocking them? Reportedly because he thinks everybody should know about this. Let's tell everybody. They're like, no, let's be quiet about it. Here you have one guy reading the book, what? The New World for Old. New World for Old. And you go look up who wrote that and what it's all about, and I've done that in previous TV shows. Now, again, this was all done in 1910, but we have Tony Blair unveiling it and then praising the Fabians, and then we have Rick Warren bringing Tony Blair to his church and giving him an award. And I think we're watching a manufactured crisis to remold the heart nearer to their desire. Tommy, they're going to be able to use COVID to bring about social credit scores. They're going to be able to use it to destroy capitalism. Of course, the Fabians, that's their goal. They're socialist. They will be able to use it to push COVID passports, a one world economy. They'll be able to use it to implement so many of their things through this COVID agenda, and they're not going to let it go, are they?
No, and part of the narrative here is that they've been pushing from this COVID collaborative is an equitable distribution of the vaccine. So they're driving the vaccine even by the social justice narrative. So wealth redistribution and redistributing the wealth of nations around as they see fit, that's all part of this. The Great Reset, you know, they made no bones about using the economic impact of the COVID-19 to drive their implementation of the Great Reset and to push their climate change agenda. So these are all the same players, and obviously they're willing to use guilt and to manipulate the masses. They're using mass media, members of the mass media, to push their narrative. And like I said, even the guy that helped produce Al Gore's movie is involved in this. So these guys are long-time successful manipulators of the public and public opinion, and they're even driving the narrative now by zip codes and, of course, targeting red states. So Republicans, Christians, minorities, they're all being targeted by this and driving them all toward the same end to bring everybody under submission to their protocols, submission to their vaccine, submission to their worldview. And that's something people have to realize. These people are operating from a very specific worldview in the same way that a Christian would, but theirs is particularly globalist and decidedly atheist.
In fact, when we go back to the website of covidcollaborative.us, covidcollaborative.us, again, brand new article by Tom Littleton on this at worldviewtimes.com. That's my news page, one of a few. worldviewtimes.com to read Tom's full article and links. But look under the covidcollaborative.us under vaccine and treatments. Defeating COVID-19 will require safe and effective vaccines and treatments without unprecedented federal, state, and local collaboration based on science. What is science, folks? Science, by its very definition, is observation and repeatable experiment. Observation and repeatable experiment. Have we done that with this so-called vaccine? No, it's not a vaccine. And in fact, what would normally take 8-9 years to roll out, they've done in 8 or 9 months, right? And yet, when they did this in 1976 with the swine flu and 25 died, they pulled it off the market. I think 53 ended up dying. But after about 25 deaths, they pulled the swine flu vaccine. Roll up your sleeve, America, was their slogan in 1976. I remember this as a kid. They pulled it. Today, the VAERS government's reporting system only reporting 1%. They have over 12,000 dead from the vaccine. But yet the Yahoo News and Christian Post wants to mock Jimmy DeYoung. They're mocking a guy that's dead. Okay. Doesn't that show you the class of the Christian Post? Okay. They're mocking a guy that's dead. And they're yet not pointing out that, hey, wait a minute. It really may not have mattered if he got the vaccine because we got over 12,000 with just 1% reporting. We have supposedly a Pfizer whistleblower now reporting over 200,000 dead from the vaccine. We'll get into that in another broadcast. But we have now been alerted through one of the people on our team, a COVID or a Pfizer whistleblower is reporting through one of our broadcasters 200,000 dead from the vaccine. So really, would it have mattered if Jimmy DeYoung got the vaccine? It doesn't. Again, we know that this thing, COVID, has a target that goes after. He was in that age bracket with some underlying conditions. But if he'd gotten the vaccine, would they have still found a way to mock him? I'm sure they would, because I think at the end of the day, it's about mocking his eschatology. But notice they say this is science. This is in no way science. It will be difficult to extend a reliable distribution and tracking system to all communities across the country. Listen to that. Hope we're showing the screen of this, right, Clay? Look at that. It will be difficult to extend a reliable distribution and tracking system to all communities across the country and to ensure that the highest risk groups get access to the information they need to make decisions about their health and to the vaccine and treatments that can save their lives. But notice this. They want a tracking system, Tom Littleton, a tracking system.
Right. Yeah, these guys were talking about the contact tracing early on and basically making whistleblowers out of your cell phone to tell them where you've been and who you've been infected or been around, exposed to, as potentially infected. So, you know, this was one of the things that churches were actually being recruited to be part of this contact tracing. So that was part of their early narrative. And I think perhaps there's something in the vaccines or future vaccines that will make you traceable based on some of the talk that you and I had discussing the ubiquitous sequencing that they would be able to do over crowds of people through drones and other devices. And so there has to be something in people's bloodstream to detect and sequence whether or not they've been vaccinated or supposedly are some type of infected carrier. So obviously there's some dimensions to this that we're not being told about, but we're certainly going to know them as they unfold. But it's pretty frightening stuff.
Yeah. When we go back to their website, we see that they have been in the news a lot. COVID collaborative in the news. And here's a New York Times article from August 5th, 2021. A bipartisan group of former health officials urge more safety rules in the private sector. The new private sector push is being driven by the COVID collaborative. Folks, what are they pushing for here? You can tell what they're pushing for. They're pushing for COVID passports. Well, gee willikers, who's going to help us lay the foundation for the coming mark of the beast? Good old Jesuit and globalist Pope Francis and Rick Warren, among others. Don't go away. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. You want to see a PSA with the Three Stooges? I mean, if your mama ever told you you could grow up to become president, tell her not to insult you. That's an insult. Anyone can grow up to be president if you work hard enough in America. Maybe that's not what you want to grow up to be. I don't know. But if Clinton can get there and Obama can get there and Clinton can get there, I'm not so sure that's an achievement anymore. But look at these guys. Here they are. We'll roll this for TV and you'll hear it for radio, the audio of Clinton. You'll be able to tell Clinton. He's the one that sounds like he's been gargling with barbed wire. Clinton and Obama and George W.
Our fellow Americans.
Right now, the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans.
And soon, they will be available to everyone.
The science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
They could save your life.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
That's the first step to ending the pandemic and moving our country forward. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah, it's up to you. And right there on the end of the ad. Let me go back to the end of the ad. Look at that. What it said. Let me play that. Okay, stop. Oop, go back a little bit, House. Will it do that? Oop, let's see. Because right at the end of the ad, did you see what it said there at the end? Hang on. Scroll back just a tad. Ugh. All right, look at that. It says, take this down here, COVID Collaborative, right? For those watching on television, COVID Collaborative, Ad Council. So again, this is a full court press. I don't know of any other organization that has so many people, including former presidents involved and government leaders and religious leaders pushing the COVID and the vaccine and the passport. This has got to be the mothership for this thing.
Yeah, I think it is. And Andy Slavitt, I think is how you say it, he is President Biden's White House senior advisor for COVID response, and he worked with Obama on implementing and protecting the Affordable Health Care Act. So he's another major political operative here who is involved with this collaborative. Also, you were talking about small businesses. Suzanne Clark is the head of the she's president of the Chamber of Commerce of the U.S., so the National Chamber of Commerce is involved in this. So this stuff is trickling down from the top, these high-end players, all the way down to the local level. And they're actually pushing their agenda in the workforce. All these press releases you see about workforce signing on to be COVID-safe zones, also the schools signing on to be COVID-safe zones. Rockefeller, in particular, is funding the school implementation, and then military, pushing military and ex-military to have the vaccine. So this is definitely, as you say, a perfect description, the mothership of all of this coordination through the media, through the healthcare community, among these politicians, and this ad council. If you start looking, a lot of what you're seeing is going to be this ad council campaign, and of course they've got their, you know, it's up to you, a catchy little phraseology that puts all the responsibility back on you. So you need to overcome your vaccine hesitancy, all of you minorities, all you Republicans, and you need to get on with it, get on board and get with it so you can save the world, save humanity, love your neighbor, and save the planet all at one time.
Yeah, kumbaya. Here is, let's go back to the screen here. Here's Pope Francis, for those of you that can understand what he's saying here. This is the first Jesuit Pope, the Marxist Pope, Pope Francis. He's pushing it. This is part of the Ad Council, which is a part of this COVID collaborative. And then it'll bring in a bunch of cardinals, I think it was. Isn't it, Tom? A bunch of cardinals?
Yeah, mostly okay. Latin American.
Okay, listen to this.
Gracias a Dios y el trabajo de muchos, hoy tenemos vacunas para protegernos del COVID-19. Ellas traen esperanza para acabar la pandemia, pero solo si están disponibles para todos y si colaboramos.
He's calling for us to collaborate with each other because only then can we end the pandemic.
Uno con otro.
La terrible pandemia del coronavirus.
Now, this is the Archbishop of another country. What's USA. This is a guy from US, huh? He's not speaking English. What's the deal?
Toda enfermedad, muerte y sufrimiento al mundo entero. Que Dios nos conceda la gracia.
All right, enough of that. I failed Spanish. Is that Spanish, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's Spanish.
Well, I didn't fail. I got a D. So.
Well, I'm married to a Spanish speaker, and my son is bilingual. So but I'm the struggler in the family. But I can tell you, Brandon, I appreciate you getting the word out on this, because people are going to be able to look at this news as it comes out differently if they follow this COVID collaborative and they see the careful coordination of all this messaging and just how manipulative it is. I mean, the guys over at Rockefeller, they put together an 18-page guide on how to get people to sign on to and persuade people to take the vaccine. They say people who are hesitant but want to help them get across the finish line, frame the vaccines as an empowering tool, not an ultimatum, refrain from messaging with insistent, demanding, or overtly urgent language, and emphasize the benefit side of rather than the risk of the benefit risk evaluation. So they're saying don't worry about the risk, emphasize the benefit. So clearly, these guys are using psychology, mass media, a lot of manipulative narratives in order to coerce as many people into not only taking the vaccine, but also being good neighbors and urging others to do the same. And the schools, we knew this was coming, that they would start mandating it in the schools and in the workplaces. Well, this COVID collaborative is where all that coordination is taking place.
Isn't it interesting, collaborative? I remember warning about the certificate of mastery that was first given out in Cottage Grove, Oregon, in the early 90s. And to get your certificate of mastery and move on with your high school education, you had to meet these set of effective objectives, attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs. One of them was a collaborative contributor, collaborative, group consensus, group, think. And if you don't go along with the group, then you're selfish, you're self-centered, you're not a productive group participant. I mean, this is socialism. It's not about individuality. Notice back to the screen, COVID Collaborative is a national assembly to tackle the COVID-19 crisis. We have brought many of the nation's leading experts in public health, education, and the economy together with associations representing state and local leaders and vulnerable communities to take unified action to stop the spread, crush the curve, and safely and sustainably reopen schools, businesses, and other places where Americans gather. So this is a full court press, folks. Now, earlier today, I'm going to go over to worldviewreport.com, guys. Let's see here. Mississippi, or look at this. Mississippi, over at the New American, and this is at my website, worldviewreport.com. Mississippi orders people with COVID to isolate or face fines and or jail. Now, we thought some of the southern states might be our salvation. Turns out, I guess they're stuck on stupid. Mississippi is about 5 miles. I was born in Jackson, Mississippi. It's about 5 miles from where I live. I can be over Mississippi in about 5 minutes, literally. But Mississippi, which is supposed to be a very, very red state, is stuck on stupid because now they're going to order people with COVID to isolate or face fines or jail. By the way, they're doing the same thing in Australia. We played the news clip for you yesterday, and we've been telling you what goes on overseas. Eventually, we'll come here, and now here it is. Now, you would expect that from places like, Illinois, or maybe from Minnesota, or maybe New York, but no, Mississippi. So it turns out, I guess, our salvation will not come from the southern states. They're stuck on stupid. Florida students placed in isolation or quarantined over new COVID protocols. So, look, even Bill Maher reveals that he will refuse COVID booster shot, demands medical autonomy, and says he only had vaccine in the first place to take one for the team. But so Bill Maher is saying, you know what, this whole booster shot thing, not going to do it. I took the first one to take one for the team, but I'm done doing this. Now, where are we going with all this? I'm not so sure, because I was reading an article today that I linked over at worldviewreport.com. Central banks are now in the end game, and this is going into all the money they've printed. By the way, August 15th of this year, just a few days ago, today being August 24th, August 15th was the 50th anniversary of Richard Nixon closing the gold window. We were already printing more money than we were backed by gold, but he further closed the gold window, or actually closed the gold window, which would allow foreign nations to exchange their dollars for gold. Otherwise, there could have been a run on our central banks and our gold and our vaults. So he did that. Well, when he did that, you go look at the chart for monetization. You go look at the chart for the printing of money, and it took off like a rocket ship. And that's why when you go back to 1980 and look at what you paid for a car in 1970, 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010, 2020, 2021, this is what you call inflation. And so what is the end game for the central banks? Well, we're in a big problem because they cannot lower the interest rates, folks. We're at pretty well zero now, but if they raise the interest rates, if they raise the interest rates to try to get the overheating and inflation under control, then the interest payments on our national debt will be so great it'll chew us up. So the central banks are in a catch-21. The end game, of course, for the central banks is that many of them have gold, they have hard assets, and they've made a fortune, like any credit card company, loaning money to America, loaning money to our government, and the central bank, the Federal Reserve, a group of private banks given a federal charter, 1913, they will be just fine. Their vaults are full of gold. They're private central banks, as is the International Monetary Fund, full of gold, one of the biggest gold reserve holders in the world, according to numerous reports, the International Monetary Fund. So again, what are they preparing for? They know exactly what they're preparing for. And this is exactly what John Maynard Keynes, the Fabian socialist, said. We, by a continuous process of inflation, we can steal the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing. So they're moving into hard assets, land, Bill Gates, Ted Turner, Bezos, China. Look at Iran, Russia. Look at, they're moving into gold, silver, land, hard assets. They are going to push us to the Great Reset. Now, where is all this going to end? Well, I have an article on my website today also by Wayne Allen Root, somewhere on here. Here it is, Wayne Allen Root over at worldviewreport.com. Look at this headline. Vaccine passports will cause the economic collapse of America. Will that be next week, next month, next year? I don't know. But Tom Littleton, you're a businessman. You also believe in hard assets, by the way, like I do. And I'm telling you right now, we cannot have another round of shutdowns. Most businesses, particularly small businesses, family businesses, will not survive. If you want the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum, this is the way to do it. Right, Tom?
Absolutely. I mean, you're still dealing with the struggle for the chain of supply from the shutdowns that happened last spring. And so when you affect the whole world economy like this, you are starting a domino effect. And, of course, around here we have so many restaurants closed and small businesses that just didn't survive. A lot of people aren't being, aren't paying attention, and the media is not reporting on that. But they didn't survive the first round. There's certainly going to be more who will collapse, with another round of shutdowns and greater restrictions. And, of course, the idea of requiring a vaccine passport, I think that's one way that they know that they can target those zip codes with this collaborative that are red state, zip codes and starve people into submission.
Yep. 1-800-347-9829. By the way, we showed the video today on Lindell Report. The folks in France, and I can show it, they're screaming in French, but they're upset because they can't get into the grocery stores without a COVID passport. They cannot get in to buy food. Oh, wait a minute. Who was telling you about a coming food crisis 5+ years ago and mocked by the executive director of a Bible ministry? He tried to compare me to Jim Baker. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Buying emergency food. Phone lines open. All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. We have just showed you what is probably the mothership for pushing COVID shot, COVID vaccines, vaccine passports, the COVID collaborative. You can go there, go to worldviewtimes.com. You can read Tom's new article, but that's where we've been right there is the COVID collaborative. And we saw that the folks involved include Rick Warren, Pope Francis, Jim Acosta, George W., Obama. I mean, we got them all over there at the all these former government workers. They're all involved in the collaborative. Lots and lots of people pushing for this, along with the Ad Council. And so they're pushing the propaganda and the narrative. So we're going to take your calls, your thoughts, your comments. The three-legged stool, folks, big government, big business, and religion. It's represented right there. Big government, big business, and religion. You can call us 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Let's start out with Joshua in Texas listening via frankspeech.com. Go ahead, Joshua.
How's it going, Brennan?
Hanging in there.
Wanted to hammer home the point. I'm sure you guys understand that this problem that we're dealing with is bigger than China. You know, with the vaccines and the virus coming from China and the election, you know, how is it, for example, found out the other day through your broadcast that Black Lives Matter was in Australia. You know, Black Lives Matter was not only, it was everywhere. And how is that? I mean, that takes organization. So I just wanted to hammer home that point and realize that this is a spiritual battle. And, you know, it's a spiritual war going to be won by spiritual weapons. And last thing, Brandon, the definition of science, I would encourage you to look at Webster's 1828 dictionary. The definition of science might more be correctly translated into knowledge, and it even states the knowledge of God. And just wanted to throw that one your way. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And what is knowledge, folks? The Bible defines knowledge as acquisition of truth, and wisdom, application of truth. So he's actually confirming what I'm saying. The definition of science, observation and repeatable experiment. When we talk about science in relation to working in a laboratory or observing the creation of the world, the true definition, go ask Ken Ham, these guys, about what is the real definition of science. They'll agree with what I'm telling you, but he's right on target as well. Science would be that which is consistent with truth. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Who's next, guys? Let's see here. Let's go to
Zoe.
Oh, by the way, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Zoe, then we'll go to Christine. Zoe in Illinois. Go ahead, Zoe.
Hi, Brandon. Real quick, I'm having trouble with the Frank Speech live stream right now, but anyway, that's not what I called about. Just wanted to tell you. I found a quote this morning, and I'm sure you've quoted it, Klaus Schwab talking in 2016 about wanting people to have a health path, and that's part of their agenda, and then they want eventually for there to be a chip in your brain or in your skin, a computer chip. So this 2016 is a long time before the virus, supposedly, although they were planning this all along, I know, because I've found things.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Well, we can just go to the lockstep document, right, Tom, by the Rockefeller Foundation. That was in 2010, and they did a scenario 2 years in advance. They said, okay, let's pretend it's 2012. Again, this was written in 2010, but they said, let's pretend it's 2012 and a virus breaks out from China and people are walking around masked and businesses are shut down and you have to go through screening and whatnot. And even had to do screening, it said in their scenario, to see who had at the airport antisocial behavior. How do you measure for that? Oh, who doesn't have the collaborative contributor mindset with a vaccine? Then you would certainly be a domestic terrorist, or another way, anti-science, or another way, antisocial behavior. I mean, you're going to be marked right away as having antisocial behavior if you don't have your yellow star on, right? Tom?
Right. And that's the thing with all the social scores. We've even talked about that. That stuff's infiltrating Christian education. And so people are having these social scores compiled on them and their kids without even knowing it.
Yep. Let's go to Christine, line four. Christine, thank you for calling in, Christine.
Just wondering what you guys think about. I work for one of the
corporate oligarchs, Amazon, I'm just going to say it. We want to buy a house. I mean, do you think that that is something to move into? I believe they're going to push this. They're going to be completely on board to push. They're going to be, they work with, you know what Amazon is.
Yeah. Are you renting right now?
We are.
Okay. Were you going to buy something more out in the country, or what were you going to do?
Well, we're trying to, but that's a little tricky around here. But would that be a suggestion? More out in the country? Huh?
Well, first of all, I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion, and I can't give it for everybody because I don't know their scenario. So I would have to talk to you about your debt load, if you have debt, all kinds of stuff, you know, and figure that, you know, that would be an individual conversation to be able to finally give you my thoughts on that. But generally speaking, if I were living in an apartment, my opinion is I would try to get out of said apartment. If I were living somewhere where I was in a highly populated area, I would try to get in an area where I had a little more breathing room. If you had the funds to have a main place and then a cabin, like many people in Wisconsin and Illinois and Minnesota do, a lot of them have cabins. I understand a lot of them, of course, have been passed down for two or three generations, but they have cabins that are a couple hours away. They can get away from the big cities. These are very smart ideas. But then again, of course, I would also then urge people to not forget those who are on a fixed income, elderly, widows, who are forced to stay in an apartment, who are forced to be a part of the system. Don't forget about these people. This, again, is beyond me. I remember 15 years ago saying to a pastor, why is your church not stocking up food, water, cots, blankets? Why is your church not spending millions and millions and millions of dollars building a new building, which sits empty 90% of the time, but you have nothing. If you were to have a major crisis, EMP, terrorist attack, bioweapon attack, whatever, do you have the cots, the food? No, of course they don't, but they got a gorgeous multi-million-dollar building. So why Christians are always a day late and a dollar short when it comes to collectively coming together is absolutely beyond me. But we must start thinking together how we can defend and help each other, as well as the most vulnerable among us, which in many cases is the older, the single mothers, and the elderly. So be thinking about them who are stuck in those apartments and those buildings. Closing comments, Tom?
Well, I just say that people need to watch this COVID collaborative, and if they can keep an eye on it, they're going to know the news before it becomes the news.
Yeah. That article by Tom is at worldviewtimes.com, worldviewtimes.com. Brand new article, Tom Littleton breaking this story of all these players, the three-legged stool, big government, big business, and the religious sector, all the way to Pope Francis and Rick Warren. Talk to you tonight on TV, 7 p.m. with Roger Stone and others. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.